The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, thank you for joining us on Hard to Believe this Election Tuesday here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every weekday afternoon, and we begin each and every hour with our impact segment, which is 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Now, by this evening time, we should start hearing some prognostications, predictions, some reviews of states. If you are, as many of us, if you're going to be following what is to come tonight, if you stay with us here on the radio, a couple of ways in which you can do it. Here in Los Angeles, we invite you to go to our sister station, AM 870 The Answer, starting at 6 o'clock for all the election returns. For those of you listening on KPRZ in San Diego, our sister station, there is The Answer San Diego, AM 1170. I got an email from somebody 10 minutes ago. What are you going to talk about on the program today? Oh, nothing. We're gonna share baseball scores. Look, I will say this. In my morning devotion time, which was brief, because I met my best friend for breakfast this morning and just basically got up, got in the shower, and drove. I had these thoughts about, okay, what am I going to do on the program today? Now, if you were with us yesterday, oh my goodness, it's as if I received emails, scathing emails, people upset. How dare you play that arrogant pastor and who denied that there is even such a thing as the coronavirus and all these misrepresentations of what we played yesterday. And I get there's a lot of you going, I didn't listen yesterday. Well, you should have. If you did, you know what I was referring to. But for those of you that don't know, I played some audio yesterday of Pastor Ken Graves, who we did ministry together a few weeks ago. I started following his church on Facebook, which is Calvary Chapel Bangor, and he posted a video, as he does every Friday, he teaches. It's a 30-some-minute video, and some of the, for me, points that stood out, he talked about the realities of how we're living now, and my word, not his, the disdain for the masses to give up our freedoms so easily to a government that says, we're in this together, right? Do what we say, in my words, not as I do, because I continue to see people in positions of authority and power in the government. They make the rules, but they don't live by them. I thank you, many of you. You sometimes get so adamant. During the show yesterday, I must add 30 emails. Why are you not talking about the breaking story about Governor Newsom and the ruling that just came down? Well, because I was doing a radio program, and take it easy. I planned on maybe circling back and sharing some specifics today, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love when I get emails. Some of you just try to hold me accountable. Some of you, as if you would like to have your own program, you know the best way that I should do this, not the way that I have been doing it for 34 years now and fall short almost every day. I praise God for his grace and his mercy. But when I get emails from people attacking a pastor because he's outspoken, and if you listen, and I literally ran 11 minutes of a 32-minute video. So maybe a third of what he actually said. I pulled out the specific, for me, important points. Now, there's always something to be said about context. you hear something, and I clarified on the air at one point in the video and some of the audio I played when he's talking about the coronavirus, he said, no one has died. And some of you, we even had a call yesterday when I said, he doesn't that mean that literally, it's out of context of what we're being told. We do know, we've heard 99.94% of anybody that is afflicted by this virus, and the virus is real. You'll survive, and for all intents and purposes, maybe have, you know, a rough day or two. That's not to minimize those that have been greatly hurt by this virus, and in the case of some, actually lost their lives. But we're so quick. We're so quick to judge, so quick to lash out, so quick to say, well, I disagree. And I'm thinking, we're so divided. Forget the world and our country. We're so divided as the church. Doctrinally, we have differences, and we kind of go to war, if you will, versus uniting in Christ above all, having differences, having different views, but ultimately saying, let's get after this. Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about our disagreements, but ultimately we are united as one in Christ Jesus. And after we kind of get after it for a while, let's go have dinner and maybe visit round two and get after it again. But we take things so to heart. And I'm seeing people in the world in which we live today, so many of us, the world of social media. Oh, I'm unfriending people. I got an inbox message yesterday. I can't follow you on Facebook anymore. For even suggesting we vote for Donald Trump. Now, if you follow me on social media, I rarely post anything specific politically. I'm intentional about that. I got an email from a listener yesterday. Man said he's followed me for years, really loved the show, and now because I've kind of taken a different direction, he's not so fond of where we're going. And I'm thinking, look, I'm not here to please everybody. I'm here to serve Jesus. Even the gospel, Billy Graham once said, is offensive. It causes people to choose. Talking about doctrines, we in the church sometimes, we're more obsessed, we're more concerned about hurting somebody's feelings than telling them, look, there is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but before we get to the good news, we got to tell you the bad news. Or somehow, if we don't do that, who is Jesus? Just some spiritual guru, the Lord of love? He hung on a cross and died for everybody. But I know for some, maybe you can relate to this. You've got a friend, neighbor, family member, and they're not saved. They're not a follower of Christ, and you pray for them and you love on them. You invite them to church once in a while or share a little something about Jesus and denied. And then one day, you invite them over for dinner. Or in the days of past, you go to a movie, some kind of a social interaction, and you see a little light at the end of the tunnel when they ask you something about your faith or they don't instantly say no. And you're like, wow, maybe God's working here. Maybe there is hope. So then we find ourselves sometimes watering down the message. Oh, we got to be real careful. Can't talk about sin. Surely not going to get into what the Bible says about issues of culture today, because Jesus was countercultural. But the next thing you know, we find that we've compromised God's word. What's the point? Well, we just talk about God as the God of love. Well, that's nice, but that's not all he is. Like for those of us as parents, we love our children. We'd like them to know that they love us and we love them. But isn't the role, you answer for yourself, isn't the role of a parent to sometimes parent your children? Not just somehow give them anything they want with no boundaries. We live in a time where some parents, I've got a story here of a famous, I think she's a model or an actress. I can pull the story up. She's pregnant, her and her, I think it's her husband, maybe her boyfriend again, today's culture. They're not going to know anything about their child until their child is 18 and their child tells them what gender they are. We're just going to raise our child in a genderless reality and we're so thrilled about this. I'm like, or in another case where you've got children and if you've got young ones, part of their role is to push boundaries, right? Asking, Daddy, can I have this? Mommy, can I have that? If Daddy says no, we go to Mommy. Mommy says no, we go to Daddy. Or constantly, me, 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 I want, I want. Isn't part of the role of a parent, you got to say no sometimes. Halloween, we didn't really celebrate it, but in the days when we did, you've got a big pile of candy on the front floor and your children are sitting there and what? So a parent is like, have at it. Enjoy. Eat the whole pile, if you will. That's not love. That's not being a parent. So why would we, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, why, if you believe in God, and if you don't, we can have that conversation. But if you believe in God, wouldn't you want to believe in a God that ultimately knows how to be your father, knows how to instill boundaries, knows how to love you in a way in which that doesn't mean you can do anything you want. And why would we acknowledge a God that wasn't a just or a righteous God when it comes to things like, well, evil or wrongdoing or injustice or violence or a whole array of other ills that we are against? Would we want a God of love to say, oh no, have at it, do whatever you want. No problem here. I love you. You want to loot? Go for it. It's fine. No consequences. Or whatever the analogy is. But that's partly of the culture we're being raised in now with a secular belief system that says anything goes. That we define our own reality. We define our own morality. The truth is subjective. Lord, help me. Look. Whoever becomes the next president of the United States, there is an impact, there are consequences. And yes, ultimately, those of us that acknowledge God is sovereign, God is still going to be in control. And, slash, but, whenever but is in the middle of a sentence, you tend to invalidate some things you say previously. It's a trick of speech. So for me, as much as we would like all of that, the reality is your vote has consequences. Yes, Jesus is still on the throne. And yes, a whole lot of other things. But have we deluded ourselves to a point where we go, well, both are bad. I can't vote for either one. Or, here's my reasons why the lesser of two evils. And we just kind of, we don't even bother to open what the Bible says. Or with respect, I rarely do this, and I'm not going to get too far down this road, but where pastors say things like vote, but they don't guide you in biblical principles. Just somehow it's up to you. But vote. It's important you vote. I don't want somebody voting that's voting on just an opinion or on a feeling. Why should their vote be the same as my vote when I tried to vote coming from an informed biblical perspective. And so here's the bottom line. We don't like leadership. This is my thesis. This is my doctorate right now. We've lived in a time in our country for many years where we've not seen, and if you want to take me to task, call. We're going to take calls today as well, 888-528-2557. We lived for a number of years where we don't really see leadership in our country. And sometimes leadership is upsetting because we don't agree with it. If you're honest and you read God's word, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I like, well, I'm like, well, that's upsetting to me. I don't agree with that. But it's God's word. So what am I going to do? Rewrite the Bible or go my own way, which many of us do. But when it comes to leadership, here's an example in the church. Francis Chan, Hank Hanegraaff, K.P. Yohanan are posting videos on YouTube regularly talking about the state of the church. Their latest, they talk about the church needs to be about love and not about war. And point being, a lot of infighting in the church doctrinally, social media. You look at the original moorings of the church. For 1,000 years, the church was united and had certain doctrinal agreements that this is just the body of Christ. This is the church. Then Luther and the Reformation and a lot of other things. But here's the point. I yearn for Christian leadership, even if I disagree with it. There's a pastor here locally who's an acquaintance. Politically and theologically, we really don't agree on a whole lot. But before the weekend in church, he shared with his flock, his congregation, I'm going to tell you how to vote this Sunday. And my first thought was, oh my goodness, we know what you're going to say, and I don't agree. But I will tell you this. I honor him more than I would honor somebody in a position of leadership that doesn't take a stance, doesn't take a position. It's easy to, well, I don't know. I may go that way. I may go this way. I don't know. It's easy to go noncommittal. It's easy to go lukewarm. We know what the Bible, you should know what the Bible says about being lukewarm. But positions of leadership that challenge you, that are strong, you may not agree, and you can find for yourself if they're biblically based and the foundation is from the Bible, we can disagree and argue until the cows come home. But it is God's word. And it's amazing to me when I hear, and I agree with K.P. Yohanan and Francis Chan and Hank Hanegraaff, some of the things I've watched on their videos. I talked to K.P. last weekend for about an hour about how we're so adamant about what we believe is true, the way things should be, and yet God is the same forever. And when you've got a pastor like Ken Graves, who is, he just kind of sounds like he's got a lot of presence to him. When he makes statements that you may or may not agree with, why not take a prayerful position and just work through it instead of instantly going, oh, I can't believe that, or shooting an email off about what an arrogant person. Or like tonight, whatever is to come, if we even have an outcome. Trust that God is yes in the works, but don't take the place of passivity and don't do anything. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to have conversations, even though the ways of our secular world is, oh no, don't do that. You either agree with this or you will be punished. And anyone loud and clear listening to my voice, this election, it's never been clearer. If you follow the standards of the Bible, who to vote for has never been clearer. It's so, They're so diametrically opposed in their platforms. And yet we go, well, I can't agree with that reason. So I'm going to go here, or I'm just going to abstain. Tens of millions of Christians, I've seen studies where they're going to abstain. They're not going to vote. When the very future of our country, in many ways, is at stake.
You, my friends, walk in faith. The just shall live by faith alone. Do not allow your fears to be fueled. Suffocate that fire. Don't allow it to be continually being fueled. Close the door. Let that fear fire go out. And conversely, fuel your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. I encourage you, friends, spend more time on facts. Spend more time reading truth and take in the truth of God's word. Feed that faith and let your faith grow. Let your faith dictate your course, not your fears. Do not give in to your fears. And above all else, do not be afraid of people. Do not be afraid of the opinions of your fellow mortals. They're going to hate. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. And they will say of you that you don't care about people, even though you've spent your life demonstrating otherwise, even though you've spent your life living in sacrificial ministry in order that people could actually have their lives changed and set free. Decades of your life you could spend laboring with drug addicts and drunkards, holding them up, teaching them how to walk. Involve yourself with them every single day of your life, and they will still find a way to say, you haters, you endangering people you don't love, you're a wicked cult. Well, rejoice and be glad when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's what they do. So anyway, it's Friday. No study tomorrow evening, and I'll see you again live from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel on the Lord's Day. My friends, pray for our nation. Pray that truth prevails. Pray that good guys win. Pray that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is in danger of becoming something else. Grace and peace to all of you.
Pastor's name is Ken Graves. His church is Calvary Chapel Bangor. It's in Bangor, Maine. You can find them on Facebook at Calvary Chapel Bangor. When we continue, a few things. Phone lines are open. If you have any thoughts, comments, maybe you want to talk about today being Election Day, 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. Ken Graves talked about prayer. Sometime this hour, a commentary, do not take your foot off the pedal of prayer. For those of you that emailed me yesterday incessantly, I can't believe you're not talking about Gavin Newsom and what happened in the courts. Well, we'll share. Take it easy. We'll talk about something that happened in the Cal courts yesterday in relation to our governor. And also, as I said, it is an election day. If you're listening here in Los Angeles, you're welcome to go to AM 870 The Answer starting at 6 o'clock for all the election updates. For those of you listening in San Diego, The Answer San Diego, AM 1170, is where you would find it on your radio dial. And again, if you're listening, let us know what's on your mind. Call. Phone lines are wide open. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. As we all know, it is Election Tuesday, and I do pray you have voted or are in the process of making arrangements to vote. I really honestly am making a conscious intention not to talk a lot about what I can prognosticate of what is to come. I don't know. I mean, so I just got three or four emails. Hey, you know, tip your hand. Where are you? What do you think is going to happen? We'll see. And I'm not taking the easy way out. Believe me, I could be spot on. And I could be so wrong. I'll just say 4 years ago, which seems like yesterday, a lot of people were wrong. We'll see what happens tonight. But I pray more than anything, any of the cowards that are threatening violence because like little spoiled babies that have to throw a little fit in a tirade, I just pray for justice. And I pray for the government to do what it's supposed to do. There's a piece written, and it talks a lot about Abraham Lincoln and how he dealt with some of the same realities of mobsters. And Lincoln talked about what kind of government is a government that doesn't mete out justice. It's pretty interesting. We may share a little bit more about that, but don't live from fear. That's what the cowards would have you do. Oh, we're gonna get real violent. You know, we're boarding up businesses, and this may happen and that may happen. And it's easy to talk a good game, especially when you think you're in control. But I just pray that no more of this without consequences. I'm tired of watching, and maybe you have a comment. We have open lines. I'm tired of watching people do things that hurts society and individuals without any consequences. I was reading a story earlier today in Portland, Oregon. 9 out of every 10 individuals that were arrested for the riots, they will not be prosecuted. There's another story I was reading about shoplifting. And with the changing of laws, that now most people, relatively speaking, that shoplift can't be apprehended and somehow be forced to be responsible for their actions. Yesterday, a Sutter County Superior Court judge released a ruling at our governor. Did you see this? 33 emails later, y'all telling me, I can't believe you're not covering this. There was an executive order that Newsom issued on June the 3rd. And what that order was about, it amended sections of our state's elections code. I don't want to get too legalistic here or in the legalese. I'll give you kind of simple language. But a Superior Court judge yesterday said that was unconstitutional. And that Governor Newsom is barred from issuing any additional executive orders that, quote, amend, change, alter, or create new statutory law or legislative policy, end quote. What does that mean? Two assemblymen sued him. A trial was held October the 21st. Judge Sarah Heckman has issued her tentative decision. And it has to do with the California Emergency Services Act, or CESA. I'll say CESA, right? Quote, the governor does not have the power or authority to assume the legislature's role of creating legislative policy and enactments. The court also found it specifically unconstitutional and is also to avoid further violations of the California Constitution during the ongoing state of emergency by clarifying that the, again, California Emergency Services Act does not give Governor Newsom the power or authority to amend law or create new law even during a state of the emergency. Quote, it is reasonably probable the governor will continue issuing executive orders which amend statutory law. That is in violation of the California Constitution, giving rise to a multiplicity of judicial proceedings, in other words, lawsuits. Governor Newsom is enjoined and prohibited from exercising any power under the California Emergency Services Act. In the days that follow the election, he should be expected to receive a number of legal challenges. So we will see, but Governor Newsom kind of had his hand slapped yesterday. And those of you, when he issues an edict or says this or that, we got a break here in a moment. We'll take calls on the other side. But let me just say this. For those of you that email me and ask me to clarify, hey, what's law, what's not law? Is it against the law to wear a mask or not to wear a mask, right? All these things. There are ordinances that local, depending on where you live, cities sometimes issue ordinances where they do pass laws. You'll be fined. But in terms of California and the governor, and this ruling yesterday indicates he, in a matter of speaking, he abused his power. And he's not to do that. It's an abuse of power. But my greatest concern is how we go belly up to whatever's said. Don't do this, don't do that. Okay, like Ken Graves said, whether you agree with him or disagree. We're not to live in fear. I just postulate a little bit. Is there something more going on here than just the government trying to save us and protect us from the coronavirus? You can find out for yourself. You can do your own due diligence and research. Seems to me I just have a modicum of intelligence with a little bit of an interest in finding out certain things. I uncover a whole area of things that seem to contradict what we hear 24/7. You've heard me talk on the program about we hear follow the science. Which science? Which scientists? There's a whole bunch of scientists that say something a whole lot different from what we're told. And what happens to them? They're silenced. They're censored. I got an email from a woman I respect. I guess her husband is in the medical field and he's got his views. But I don't necessarily agree that that's the only view that science says as it relates to the coronavirus. At the very least, when you hear the numbers of the dead, you've got a guy like Yale epidemiologist Risch, who posted a thing in Newsweek, said 100,000 people didn't have to die if we would have treated them early with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, zinc sulfate. So that in and of itself, or just the numbers, 99.94% of people that contract this, and yes, it's not a hoax, it is a virus. Some people die, but 99.94%, and we lock down economies, we devastate lives, we sit and we cower to the emperor, please. Open my business, Governor. I should be able to feed my family. My friends, I just ask you, pray, and if you come to a conclusion, maybe there's more going on here than meets the eye. Spend time in prayer. Give that to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you on this. But I'm really tired. Seems like we are told one thing, and then a little time goes by, we're told another, and it's ever-changing. And now here we are, the start of 8 months later, and you hear stories 24/7 in the mainstream. Oh, hospitals are filling up again, and oh, another spike. It's really bad. Is this the second wave, the third wave, the fifth wave? And what about the flu season? And it's just doom and gloom. 99.94% of the population will survive this, most in a way in which where it's maybe a bit of discomfort. And don't come at me like somehow I minimize or I'm insensitive to the loss of life. Please, we're in a country by which we fall all over ourselves. We abort babies and we don't think twice about it. So don't start preaching at me about the value of life. I get a little sick of that one. At least let's be consistent, right? If we're going to stand for life, let's stand for all life. But here we are, election day. We're going to vote in a new president or say we want the same president for another 4 years. Sooner or later, that's going to be done. And then what? Then what does the body of Christ say? Then how do we live our lives? In fear? I just don't think that's the way Christ commands us to live. 888-528-2557. I'd love to get some calls on the screen. I got a bunch of emails. Maybe you can't call in. Maybe you're afraid to call in. Please call. What about Election Day? Have you voted? Maybe you want to share your thoughts. I'm not going to share mine about what I think may happen tonight. But my goodness, it's a great day in our country. And may we exercise the very freedom to vote. And we will see what is to come. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is Election Day. I just received an email from, I'm sure it's okay to say a first name, listener Karen, and she shared, I did something everyone can do. I went to a local business that I found that has the Recall Newsom signature list and signed my name. Let's recall the governor. For what it's worth, I signed my name. Let's go to the phones. Alex in Glendale. Alex, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Let's go to
the phones. Turn your radio down, Alex, please.
I got you.
Okay.
How's it going, Frank?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, sir. I just wanted to read. This is the first time on your show. I'm a little jacked up. I've had a little coffee, so just bear with me. I just want to get all this out. I was driving, and I heard you talk about Ken Graves. Well, listen, I'm not afraid to call in. I was actually at your Kingdom Men's Gathering 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and it was the most powerful thing that I had ever attended from a spiritual perspective. He stood up there. I thought your partner got up there before everything got off, and he said, "Hey, listen, we bring real people here," and he wasn't kidding. And it all started with Ken Graves, and he stood up and he started talking about duty, that the fact that the Bible talks about duty. And I was just driving my car, and I was listening to you, and I heard you comment about somebody that had, I wasn't listening yesterday, so I don't know what you guys talked about, but apparently you were talking about somebody criticizing about what you guys were talking about yesterday. I guess it was concerning Ken Graves. But I just wanted to come on as soon as I heard that and just say that, number one, he got up there and he talked about how Saul transformed into Paul. And he talked about five different things. The top three were his reliance on the Holy Spirit. Secondly, his realization of his duty. And then first, the revelation of who Christ is. Wow. And I just wanted to go on by saying that the Bible talks about duty. I'm I'm by nature, I'm a 51-year-old man. I've come to Christ 11 years ago, got discipled for 2 years, and I'm not political by nature. I'm not a political guy. I don't really like politics. I don't really get into it. But I just realized, you know, in these past 2 weeks that I might personally not like the person of Donald Trump and what comes out of his mouth sometimes, a lot of times. But as Ken Graves says, we have a duty as Christ followers. So today I am gonna vote, and I am gonna vote my Christian beliefs. And Donald Trump and the Republican Party are much, much, much more aligned with our Christian beliefs than the Democrats and Joe Biden.
Well, let me respond. I sense you probably have more to say, and I'm glad you got a little coffee going. It's a good day to drink some coffee. But I have other people that I want to be fair to, so let me just respond by saying thank you for calling. Thank you for coming to our KMG event. I'd love to hear more about your experience. Maybe shoot me an email through our website, kmgministries.com. I'll get back to you. In fact, give me your cell. I'll respond. I'd love to have a further dialogue off the air. But thanks for stepping up and stepping out, especially at a time in our state where I have to tell you, Alex, when we kind of made known in our channels we're going to do an event, let's just say we got just a little pushback. People freaking out. What? You're going to do this in a church with other men around me? It's not going to be outside? I'll just say this. We're getting used to some things we shouldn't get used to. We are social creatures. We need to interact. I just walked into work today on the sidewalk, and a man was coming my way. He saw me, and he intentionally made a beeline away from me, obviously because, oh, it's social distancing, can't get near somebody. We're afraid of each other now. I was in the grocery market the other night, and I do wear a mask in the grocery store. They ask that you do it. I'm not a big mask guy. Listen to my program for a day or two. You'll know why. But literally, a woman had asked me if I could reach the top shelf for some toilet paper, and I said, sure. And she was shaking behind her mask, and I said, are you okay? And she said, these masks freak me out. We're getting used to things. Let's not get too used to this, and let's not be so quick to give up our freedoms. And God help our children. Our kids should be in school. There's no reason why our children should not be in school. Oh, how can you say that? That's irresponsible. No, it's not. And I really believe if I wasn't a follower of Christ and I didn't study spiritual warfare, if I didn't have a men's ministry, I probably wouldn't be saying half of these. I'd go the easy way, the path of least resistance. Just kind of go along to get along. But that's not who Jesus is. Somebody calls me yesterday when I said we're not in church, or I get an email. Oh, I'm in church. We do online. That's great. Praise God for technology. But you're going to tell me that's the same thing as being in church with brothers and sisters and sharing in fellowship, worshiping God? It's not the same thing. And I'm sorry. If you really believe that there isn't an element of the government has some targets on religious freedom in the church, I just honestly, I don't know what to tell you. But if you got a pot store or a liquor store, hey, all good. And I don't want to go to saying it's only going to change when enough of us say enough. I'm not going to go there, but how much is enough? what, a second, a third lockdown coming? Or you hear more in the news, more spikes, more epidemics? Or God forbid a change in administration and then mandatory masks? And when is enough enough? I'll leave it rhetorically right there. This is the Frank Sontag Show.